he will have to move out at that point, that is true.
Hello and welcome to The Trawl, the show where we scroll through Twitter so you don't have to. I'm Marina Perkis.
And I'm Gemma Forte, and this week we've got a right old mixed bag of tweets to serve up for you, including one which drew our attention to something that I don't think we ever would have heard about if it wasn't for Twitter. But just before we get stuck in, can we please start by saying thank you so much for helping us get into the podcast charts? We were blown away. Around my house, I was doing so much whooping. It was like some sort of tragic hen night for one.
We were buzzing our proverbials off, weren't we, Gemma? I kept checking back on the podcast charts like an absolute lunatic. At one point, we were higher than the Archers, for heaven's sake. Like, the Archers.
I know, that was absolutely mad. And Peter Crouch, my son was so chuffed.
Didn't it make you have a podgasm?
That is something that I WhatsApped you privately, Marina, but yes, I did. Thanks. Cheers, everybody. It was great. I had like a fag and a coffee after. No, I'm joking. I don't smell.
Right.
Anyway, it was a good feeling. That's all that anybody needs to know. It was great. But yeah, podcasm, it's a new thing. Who knew?
Enough of that. Let's start the troll. Though, frankly, in the week when the mercury hit 40 degrees, I mean, it's incredible that anyone had the energy to tweet and that our devices didn't melt. Mine got worryingly hot at one point.
Mine did too, actually, but I still had a good old trawl. And I liked this succinct tweet by somebody called Manuel Grebenjack at Manuel Grebe, who simply said, "We should start naming heat waves after fossil fuel companies."
Do you know what? That's not a bad idea, actually. Good idea, Manuel. I think we probably should, because we need to do something. Like, it's such a dire state of affairs that we're in. We've got, like, every meteorologist and climate scientist worth their salt explaining the direct correlation between the extreme temperatures and climate change. And yet you've got these people wheeled in, these, like, renter gobs, wheeled into air-conditioned studios, and sadly, even some of the presenters who just seem hell-bent on insisting we should shut up, cheer up and shove a 99 flake in our gobs and crack on.
I know, it's true. And it just shouldn't really be a debate, should it? We should just be sort of listening to David Attenborough, quite frankly.
We should. And I know it sounds like I'm exaggerating and it's hyperbole. But honestly, people, listen to this clip and tell me I'm exaggerating. So this is from Dino Sophos, who is a podcast producer and CEO of Persephonica, who tweeted this clip with the caption, "Suspect GB News will regret this clip. Just listen. It's meteorologist and expert John Hammond talking to GB News presenter Beverly Turner."
So we all like nice weather, but this will not be nice weather. This will be potentially lethal weather for a couple of days. It'll be brief, but it'll be brutal.
John, I want us to be happy about the weather, and every single, I don't know whether something's happened to meteorologists to make you all a little bit fatalistic and harbingers of doom, because all of the broadcasts, particularly on the BBC, every time I've turned on anyone's talking about the weather, they're saying that there's going to be tons of fatalities. But haven't we always had hot weather, John? I mean, wasn't the 76, the summer of 76, that was as hot as this, wasn't it?
No.
Bloody flipping heck.
I mean, Beverly, she's just deluded.
I know. On Instagram, she was calling it a climate lockdown because people were advised to not go in the sun. It's a bit strong.
I mean, what a bell. I do wonder, though, if any of our listeners have watched Don't Look Up, because if they have, Beverly is basically like a caricature of one of the news anchors in the film. And if you've watched it, you will know exactly who I mean. If you haven't, by the way, do watch it because it's really worth adding to your list.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And on that note, here's a cheeky stat that I noticed on a tweet from Open Democracy. So the BBC, GB News and LBC dedicated what percentage do you think of interview time with Truss and Sunak on climate change? I'm going to tell you, it was a very minimal 3%, and that's it.
I would love to know actually how that stacks up against the percentage of interview time on culture wars and gender stuff. But
yeah, there would have been probably sort of like 55% on toilets, 3% on climate change,
which feels about right. Definitely. Yeah, what we all care about. But it's just nuts. Like, why is it like? I feel like the Venn diagram of rabid right wingers and climate change deniers is just a perfect circle.
It does tend to be the case, Marina. Still, for me, this tweet by Paul Bassett Davies, whose handle is @thewritertype, really summed it up. I like this one. Dear climate change deniers, once you've developed penicillin, invented the internet, and landed a robot computer on Mars, please do share your thoughts on the science. Until then, have a nice day on Earth and don't fall off the edge.
I thought that was really clever at the end.
Very good.
Andrew Marr was actually quite impressive. He did a beautiful rant straight down the barrel of the lens, which LBC tweeted from their account. So let's let him have the last word on climate change. I must say, before we do, I much prefer the looser-lipped LBC version of Andrew Marr than the BBC one.
No one can say they haven't been warned. And I, for one, have had enough of being told by pallid, shadowy, old businessmen and lazy, ignorant hacks and sleazy lobbyists who aren't real scientists, any of them, that the science is wrong and that what is happening isn't happening. Enough. And if this poison is being injected into the already undemocratic game of choosing a new prime minister, then it needs to be called out and flushed out right now.
Oh, gosh. Wow. We're just getting warmed up there. Very, very good. Very succinct. And again, you could sort of tell genuinely quite angry about the situation. I like the little jab at the hacks there.
So let's move on now to the people who will be making profoundly important decisions on our behalf, including on the climate. So we're down to Rishi Sunak, who is the guy who, you've got to laugh, haven't you? The guy who Byline Times reported has family who are profiting from business ties to oil giant Shell. How very handy.
Or very, very handy.
We've got Liz Truss, who Climate Home News reports has links to a secretively funded climate skeptic group. I mean, it bodes really well, doesn't it?
Oh, we're all going to burn to a frazzle, Marina, let's face it.
Oh, gosh. I mean, okay, first let's take a step
sorry,
back.
Sorry, right? Kids.
Sorry, yeah. I know. Let's try and keep it upbeat for the listeners, Gemma.
Yeah,
come on,
yeah,
upbeat,
no, it's all fine.
Upbeat.
Everybody just have a glass of wine.
But let's take a step back, though, right? Let's revisit that group of people who are going to choose who of those two gets the top job. So it's that teeny tiny group, right? We've got about 160,000 largely white, middle class, over 60 Brexit voting men who make up the Tory membership. But Gemma.
Yes.
Plot twist.
Is
it actually so teeny tiny? Because there was an absolutely wild revelation made on Twitter by someone called Tom Stockton, which picked up mad pace and ended up being reported on more widely. So Tom tweeted this: members of Conservatives abroad do not have to be British citizens, but they are entitled to vote in the leadership election. How is that okay? How many of these people are there? Who are they?
Oh my God. So I've got to say, I think sometimes you keep quite strange hours, because you WhatsApp me quite late one night, I think, with this. It dropped into our little sort of WhatsApp group of tweets. And I sort of thought, what? And then the next day, like you say, it just snowballed all over Twitter. It appears to be true.
Which is nuts. I saw it and I did some investigating before I reposted it. And it does
Jessica
appear
Fletcher.
Legit. Well, you know. Can we get her soundtrack on the next podcast? I bloody love that music.
You've got a bike. Dun, 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 dun.
But genuinely, it appears legit. So you just pay 25 quid or less if you're younger. And Bob's your uncle, Truss or Sunak is your PM.
I mean,
there's actually another account that validated this. So a guy called Wesley Theobald tweeted saying, "So not wanting to believe this loophole to choosing Britain's next leader could possibly exist, I set my VPN to Ukraine, spoofed a name and address in Luhansk, pretended I'm under 26, and it's straight through to accepting my £5 donation via PayPal. What the actual F?
I mean, it's just the levels of absurdity. It's just unbelievable. And we can't even find out. So you'd think that the number of people within the Tory party would be an easy figure to check, and the membership. But no, I saw your tweet, Marina, where you screenshotted the Financial Times article that said definitive information on who those Tory party members are is tricky to come by. It's not officially published. Well, hardly surprising given what we know now. So I'm just sort of imagining over in Russia, you've got Ivan and Igor and Alexei, you know, busy signing up, and I think you have to be a Conservative member for 3 months before you can vote, but they could have done this, you know, anybody in China, have a go, come on, join in, get a little bit of British democracy. And then in the meantime, we just get to watch the last two standing, i.e. Sunak and Truss, tearing chunks out of one another, reminding us all how hapless both their records are so far. In fact, I loved this tweet by Sam Harland, at Sam J. Harland. I thought this encapsulated this rather alarming leadership battle and how puzzling it is for us bystanders. So, Rishi replacing Boris. It's like being in a care home in the 70s. You're lying on your bed after hearing Savile won't be visiting over the weekend, and then you start to hear the sound of a didgeridoo echoing around the corner.
Oh, God. I mean, it's just so bloody horrendous. It's just like this continuation of this just dimwittery we've endured for so long. And speaking of Savile, which I don't really like to do or particularly relish, Liz Truss has still got this tweet up that she posted back in 2011. And like, why the hell hasn't she taken it down? She wrote, "Used to see Jimmy Savile at the Flying Pizza on Street Lane Roundhay. Always in good spirits. Rest in peace."
Wowzers. Although I'm going to just quickly jump in and say, I wrote to Jimmy Savile twice when I was a kid, and it does make me think, like, he looked like the child catcher. He looked like a massive nonce. And then I'm writing to him saying, can I turn around and change into Wonder Woman, please? What was I thinking? And then I didn't get a letter back, gutted. So I thought, I'm going to have another go. And I was so precocious. Do you know what I asked for a second time?
Go on.
I said, "Dear Jimmy," you big nonce. "Dear Jimmy, please can I direct your program?" Didn't hear anything. And you know what? With hindsight, I'm glad.
Thank goodness. What a precocious little kid you were as well. What a request.
What a little absolute prick I was.
Exactly the same now.
Anyway. Well, I mean, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Except I can go out and get my own Wonder Woman outfit if I want. Yeah.
you don't have to change in front of anyone. Right. I mean, it is grim, right? We're in the midst of the equivalent of the country.
We're in the middle of a breakdown in this country, aren't we? And yeah, it's all getting to me.
Oh, it's so grim. But you know what? You didn't know that Savile was a nonce, whereas children know that the PM is completely bloody toxic. So there's actually a tweet from @BeardedGenius, a guy called Noradin, who tweeted this clip, which originally came from Sky News, with the words, "The very definition of pesky kids. Excellent."
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
What's your name?
Prime Ministers.
This is so awkward.
Where's Boris Johnson?
Oh, wait, are we on telly?
Yeah. Boris is back at number 10 Downing Street.
Have they not kicked him out yet? Why are they not kicking him out?
He doesn't go evict him.
Do me a favour, when you become Prime Minister, evict him.
He will have to move out at that point, that is true. That is true.
What do those kids have for lunch?
Like, I don't know, but they should serve it up in 10 Downing Street and Houses of Parliament.
Yeah, they were just cutting into there. That was Liz Truss, just a fantastic outing there. Anyway, it wasn't just the kids giving Liz a grilling this week, because Nick Robinson was at it too over on BBC Radio 4. And they actually tweeted with the quote, @BBC Nick Robinson challenges Liz Truss over her plans to borrow money to fund tax cuts, which critics say will increase inflation further. Have a listen.
Will borrowing billions of pounds, you say over £30 billion, increase or decrease inflation?
My tax cuts will decrease inflation.
Really?
Because what they
can
do...
Can you point to a single chancellor, a single governor of the Bank of England, single leading economist who thinks that cutting taxes with borrowed money does anything other than increase inflation?
Patrick Minford, who's written an article about it this weekend.
There's one.
The
There's one. But he is distinguished in many ways, but he is not what I just listed. He's not one of the leading economic thinkers in this.
Flipping it. Patrick Blinkin' Minford. He's the one they all wheel out every single time. It's like citing Lawrence Fox or Piers Corbyn as your one expert. Under the tweet of the Radio 4, let's put that clip with, Daniel, who's at Kirkers 1975, wrote, Tory interviews a liberal, which made me chuckle because, you know, let's face it, Liz Truss is a secret Lib Demmer back in the day. And at Pope Urbane, echoed my feelings with, when your go-to single lonesome economist is Patrick Minford, any sensible person checks their working. You know, today, Liz Truss has, after that interview, had to distance herself from him because he's actually come out and gone, well, I've looked at Liz's workings and I still sort of stand by. It's a great idea to cut all these taxes. But what it will mean is interest rates going up. So the average person will be paying £700 more in their mortgage.
Oh, wonderful.
And everyone's like, you what? Well, that sounds great. But also, you know, many moons ago, this is the chappie who said we'd be £135 billion a year better off after Brexit. And how's that working out for us, Patrick?
How are these people still allowed a platform when they get things so bloody wrong? And Patrick, more about Patrick Minford. He's actually linked to only the Centre for Brexit Policy and Economists for Free Trade, which are two think tanks with really strong ties to the Global Warming Policy Foundation, which really sounds like nice, you know, nice group that probably care about the environment. They're not. They are a climate science denial group. Offs.
Oh, flipping heck.
I know. That clip as well, there's a bit in it just before where Truss actually says she doesn't want to, I quote, choke off growth by raising taxes. Like, choke off growth. This is the woman who flip-flopped to cheerlead for a Brexit, which did exactly that. It choked off 4% of our GDP, choked off 15% of our import and export trade to the tune of literally billions. And like our workforce, it choked off our workforce. Christ.
You're just a massive Liz Truss fan, aren't you?
Huge. I'm her biggest fan. But, you know, you've got to give it to her, right? When she's not completely buggering up the economy, she does manage to find time for a photo shoot, doesn't she?
In fact, she does. She loves one. A bit of cosplay like Johnson.
What was that one where she was like in a field with like a red cloak and holding an apple? It looked like something
some wellies.
What was that? Like, she was channeling like Handmaid's Tale vibes.
It was like Handmaid's Tale meets Jilly Cooper. And then she's done a bit of a sort of Top Gun one, hasn't she, as well? And then she's got literally the Margaret Thatcher wig and shirt as well. So it's all fun times.
There's a tweet from Quebec Tango, who was obviously referencing this, and said, Liz Truss's first act as a PM would be to replace the ceremonial mace with a selfie stick.
Oh, do you know what? Wouldn't blame her because she can get all those lovely Insta shots a little bit more easily. I like this from Emma Wolfe. So Emma Wolfe actually is on Jeremy Vine sometimes, and she's a writer in a journo. She tweeted a very short excerpt from The Times about how Truss engages in some rituals before telly debates. It said, there's the double espresso, one of several throughout the day. There's a blast of upbeat pop mainlined through ear pods and a few moments of positive self-talk. I was just like, double espresso? A, I'd have a heart attack, and B, I'd need a poo.
I like how she's trying to make out, like, she's so totally normal. Like, you know, she's like so cool and, I mean, upbeat pop. Like, what do you reckon she's
what
got?
What is it? Is it? I reckon I'm going to go with a bit of S Club. I'm thinking she's reached for the stars just before a debate, I think.
What do you?
Or maybe it's like Patrick Minford on audiobook.
I can't see her being like Dua Lipa or Lizzo. I've got her down as, like, I don't know, like more of a Nolan Sisters kind of girl.
What do you think? Yeah. Oh, maybe that there's some quite good sort of Katy Perry, but yeah. Or anyway, we're getting ridiculous. We're just naming pop acts now. I can't take any more Truss anyway. So we're going to turn our attentions now to what Will from the Inbetweeners is. I mean Sunak. I love this. This is why I love Twitter. A joke takes off and just suddenly somebody is something and that is it and it sticks. So a tweet by author, economist and Times Business columnist Ryan Bourne, who's at Mr. R. Bourne, said, Someone told me that if you close your eyes, Rishi sounds like Will from The Inbetweeners, and now I cannot unhear it. So I want to see if you and the listeners agree. Here's a tiny snippet, which @J_Bloodworth tweeted with the caption, "Maximum cringe. Close your eyes, gang. Is this Rishi or is this Will from The Inbetweeners?"
Guys, we totally smashed it. Well done.
It's uncanny. Do you know what, Gemma?
Don't I know.
Ever play that for me again, because it might make me warm towards Rishi Sunak, and that's not allowed.
I can't. But when he says we smashed it, Simon Dale @SimonDale196 wrote underneath, is he referring to the sorry state of the UK economy? Bearing that in mind, I don't care, Marina. I'm a rule breaker. Play it again.
Guys, we totally smashed it. Well done.
He's smashed the economy. He's smashed the NHS. He's just smashed. He's smashed the ports. He's smashed Dover. He's smashed rule-breaking laws. And he's smashed a penalty notice for getting pissed at Downing Street. No, he didn't, but yeah. Sorry. Little moment there. Calming down again. One more. @Hollorella, who I really like, she's quite funny actually, political junkie she calls herself, she tweeted the same clip saying, "Please God, encourage him to say, 'Feisty one you are,' to Liz Truss during the debate." She'd have her ear pods in, singing to S Club.
She would. Oh gosh, I mean, all this already, and we've still got over 5 weeks of this leadership bin fire till we get our next PM. I mean, strap in, folks. It's going to be a long one. Right. Now, I'm very keen to discuss something which, if it weren't for Twitter, I don't think I'd know, which is partly why I love Twitter so much. But this really did give me the chills, and I think it's a cause for real concern. So bear with us for a serious bit of the show, if you will. So there's an account called @ACGrayling. He's a philosopher and author, and he wrote, "What? This week, the UK government quietly removed sexual and reproductive health and rights and bodily autonomy from an international statement organised to show solidarity among nations on human rights. This is deeply troubling." So I did my usual thing here, Gemma, where I look at a tweet that looks like it's bloody awful, and I hope it isn't true, but then I follow AC Grayling, he's like, really good account, really respect him. So I looked into it, and it's bloody true. So basically, a few weeks ago, an intergovernmental human rights agreement was signed on women's rights. And then last week, the UK government quietly removes a reference to sexual and reproductive health and rights and bodily autonomy. Like, why? Why would they do that? And the thing is,
it's so sinister given what's happened in the States.
Oh, it's awful. And the thing is, so listen to this, 22 countries had signed this human rights agreement, but that was before our government then just steps in and makes this weird, worrying amend. And now only one country will sign it, and that country is Malta. And do you know what's interesting and frankly quite bloody terrifying about Malta? In Malta, there, I didn't know this actually until I saw this tweet. In Malta, there is an absolute ban on abortion in all circumstances, including rape, incest, and fatal fetal abnormalities. It's absolutely terrifying.
Oh my goodness me. You know, I have to say, Marina, I mean, I don't think my head can even process what you've just said. I mean, and I know it's true because I've looked into it as well, because you highlighted it to me. I'm an idealist, right? And despite everything that's happened in the last few years that has made me question an awful lot of things, at the heart, British people are good people and they are fairly liberal-minded, right? And we are not like the States. We don't have that thread of intense religion that you've got in the Deep South, which they use to, you know, to excuse allowing sort of terribly ill people to have guns and go into primary schools and things. And I just... surely the British public would not stand for this.
I really hope not. I don't think. But then how much stuff have we seen happen? And there's no revolution just yet. So it makes me wonder. But I did, I had a little look at the responses to the tweet just to see how this news was going down. And I read a tweet from Jamma, @FineJamsky, which really made me think. He said, I'm getting sick of this shit. We're not theirs to effing herd around. They're our servants. I'm genuinely starting to think a revolution is actually required. And he is right. Like, I think we sometimes forget, like, who is supposed to be working for who here? And also, aren't they supposed to be, like, the party of small government? Why are they getting involved in this?
I've got no idea, but I think women will, and men will freak out if this becomes a law or affects women in this way. It even triggered a response from the UN rep who said, claims that freedom or religion of belief can be invoked to deny women the enjoyment of their sexual and reproductive health rights must be rejected as representing intolerant and patriarchal attitudes. So, yeah, very worrying times.
I've got a little girl on the way, some people will know, due here in October, all being well. And it just makes you look at things differently as well, doesn't it? We've got the environment concerns and then, but this as well, like, what world is she potentially going to be living in? So, yeah, worrying times.
Ditto for my 17-year-old daughter, different stages, but same kind of feelings, absolutely. Mm.
It did actually make me think deeper about Johnson's parting advice at his final PMQs last week, because he said, stay close to the Americans.
Now, not that it's a competition, but I also noticed something during my trawl, which made me wonder where I live. And it was a tweet from @sturdyalex, real name Alex Andreou, who's a writer and actor. And he tweeted a picture of Kwarteng, 4 months ago, and Kwasi Kwarteng on that day. And he wrote, who knew they were just upset that P&O had scooped their big idea. So this was a picture that Kwarteng proudly tweeted of himself signing away workers' rights. So what's happened is the government have got a sniff of the fact that workers from rail to teachers to barristers to nurses and doctors, basically every single public sector worker, is deeply unhappy with their lousy stinking pay and are seeing no alternative but to strike. But up until now, it's been illegal for striking workers to be replaced. So as ever, rather than looking at solving the issue by finding money to pay people properly, which they could do by doing things like closing tax avoidance loopholes, they're changing the law so that workers could be replaced by temps, with no sense of shame or irony, given that 5 minutes ago when P&O were doing this and they were basically sacked off 800 workers so they could undercut them with cheap foreign labour, Kwasi Kwarteng called it criminal. And now he's changed the law so anyone can do it. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Oh, but Tim Burgess reminded him, this was a criminal offence. Now it's an option for business. One sentence that sums up the last 12 years of Tory rule, how grim. And I mean, Marina, imagine Dave Lawrence as well saying, oh, can't wait to see agency staff replacing train drivers and nurses and doctors when there are 1.3 million unfilled job vacancies. Congratulations. Assume you've just helped the unions unite.
Oh, do you know what? That's just unbelievable. More Tory joined up thinking. They're bloody clueless. You've just reminded me, by the way, of a tweet I saw last week, but I can't for the life of me remember who from. Very sorry about that. But it was genius in suggesting that when all the Tory MPs and ministers were resigning, we should have just brought in agency staff to replace them.
We should. And in that instance, they'd probably be better.
Oh, God, there's no question. Just sort of, yeah. But it's funny, isn't it? Because these are, you know, strike opposing Tories who themselves brought about change by walking out of their jobs. I mean, this shit just writes itself, Gemma.
Oh, I know. Oh, God, that's enough of the dark side, I think. I'm worried that our lovely listeners are going to be slamming their heads in the door. Should we try to finish up with a little short selection pack of relative Twitter lightness?
I don't know if I can promise that lightness because I'm about to talk about Suella Braverman, but I'll try and keep it upbeat. I'll tell you what's good. No, I'll tell you what the good thing is, that she's been booted out of the PM race, right? There you go. That's good news.
Yay!
Woo. But Soz, she's still rumoured to be lined up for a cabinet position, possibly education secretary under Truss. I mean, good luck, kids.
Oh, wow.
But in my trawl, I found this. And while I know it's not like funny, there is a sort of grim, bleak schadenfreude that I feel when listening to this. On the week that we found out that the Brexit bill, the divorce bill of £35 billion has snuck up to an eye-watering £42 billion, and it is still rising. To take a listen, right? So this is Suella on Question Time pre-Brexit.
You're absolutely right. And this figure of 50 billion doesn't have any legal basis whatsoever. It's been manufactured. And it doesn't seem likely that there will be such a bill for 50 billion pounds. It's part of Project Fear. Health warning, don't believe it.
Health warning, stop talking. Flipping heck. You know what? Later on in the clip, she actually says, not only will we not pay this divorce bill, but we'll get a windfall. The best days lie ahead. I'm like, what, like they are in Dover? Yeah, that's brilliant. Everybody's sat in the car with their kids crying, going, look at all this sovereignty. Oh, this is brilliant. We've been in the car for 22 hours waiting for our passport to get stamped. Crazy
But
days.
Can you imagine making that sort of mistake at work where, like, she said something that's completely not just erroneous, but, like, it's turned out to be massive, massive cost to us, right? So most of us would be like, shit, I'm really sorry. Wouldn't, like, put our heads above the parapets for, like, ages.
But go to bed for about a week.
Basically, yeah. And just pretend, like, you just crawl under the covers and just pretend it never happened. What does she do? The audacity of the woman, she goes for bloody PM. There's no unstoppable.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
My God, yeah. You're so right. She basically promised we wouldn't be spending that money. We're spending 42 billion. I would need to eat a packet of Kit Kats and just cry. I'd be so embarrassed. Anyway, something else, please,
yes.
Marina. Something to wet my palate. Well,
I've got something refreshingly brilliant for you, actually. So it's clever, it's wonderful, it's real. So hopefully that makes up for that Suella monstrosity. Here is a clip from the Newscast podcast, which was tweeted by Laura Koonsberg Translator at BBC Laura KT. So this is a spoof account of political journalist Laura Kay, who captioned the tweet with, "Breaking, there has been a huge mistake at the BBC. Someone put Mick Lynch live on air and he's made us all look like massive dickheads again."
I think we've got a hard right cast of
really?
People.
Is that a reasonable
characterisation? I think these are extremists. These are people that are saying we won't, virtually on the edge of saying that tax itself is abhorrent. And tax is a good thing in a progressive society. Tax is the means by which you create equality. And they are more or less saying to basically...
You must be like a Rishi Sunak man then, because he's the one saying...
Well, Rishi Sunak would get it back. I mean, they never put progressive taxes. Most of the taxes in this country are raised through VAT.
I mean, what was it that made the presenter look at Mick Lynch and think, you must be a Rishi Sunak man? I don't think so. I don't think Mick Lynch is sitting there going, I am absolutely up for Will from the Inbetweeners. He's fabulous. But also, is he single, Mick Lynch?
Do you know what? I'm so glad you said that. I was just about to say, I'm starting to feel like I've got a secret crush on him. It's not so secret. I literally just told you and all our listeners.
Yeah,
but I know. Because I just love him.
He's absolutely amazing. And you know what they say on Love Island? He's not my type on paper. He's not my type on paper, Marina. But I could sit and listen to him for hours. He's absolutely fabulous. He really
is. Do you
want
to reach out to him? Why don't you slide into his DMs?
I think that I... Can you imagine if I started going out with Mick Lynch? That'd be amazing. But it's a bit weird.
Power couple.
Would I be his type? I very much doubt it. And I'm sure he's married. And I should shut up now. Groovy. Gem and Mick. Well, that sounds a bit like Pat and Mick. I'm not sure. Anyway,
now stop.
Stop enough. I'm going to go with my underrated tweet of the week now. I'm going to award it out. This is by a woman called Amanda, who's on Twitter. Her handle is @pandamonymum. See what she's done there. And she found a tweet that Tatler magazine with a blue tick and everything, had put out the other day. So Tatler's social... Tatler tweeted, "Could Liz Truss be the UK's second ever female PM? Amanda got that tweet and quoted it at the top. Tatler's social media person arrives home and starts cooking their dinner, smiling at their productive day on Twitter. As they reach for an onion, a small frown appears on their face. With their pasta water bubbling away, they suddenly scream, fuck, we forgot about Theresa May.
Can you imagine the panic? Can you imagine the panic if you made an error like that at work? I'm like, what was happening? Like, what went through that person's mind? Is it because Theresa May was like a robot rather than a woman?
Do you know what? I reckon she added the old ear pods in, like Liz did, because she used to do that lovely dancing, didn't she? She was a fabulous dancer.
Yes.
Wonderful. Anyway, I think we should probably wrap it up, shouldn't we?
I think so. Right, let's look, we will be back because as any of our followers know, we are basically addicted to Twitter. So please like come back. Do come back next week for our latest trawl from the Twitter sphere. And if you enjoyed this trawl, let us know as well. We're always keen to hear feedback, just, you know, the nice feedback. And also we'd love you to share it.
Yeah, thank you for listening. And if we've triggered your Twitter imagination, you can find us at The Trawl Podcast. And if you've got a friend who you think would enjoy it, maybe send them a little link via WhatsApp, just a suggestion. Mm. But Marina, I want to leave some pudding again for our listeners, please. So I've trawled and I've dredged and I've come up with a little cherry.
Yes, let's let our mate, and she's a massive Twitter legend, Super Tansky, play us out with one of her own unique rants, which she posted on Twitter. Little heads up though, listeners, she swears like a sailor.
She does, but we love her, and all who sail in her, take it away, Tan.
I know things seem hopeless at the moment, with corrupt, criminal, human trafficking gangs running the country, fueling racism and division, absolute hunts, abusing their positions of power for personal profit. It's said that every 5 years, at least two useless wankers with the IQ of a house brick will attain a position of influence in the Conservative Party. But there is something you can do. You can go back in time and not vote Conservative, like a fucking idiot. But until we invent the time machine, you can make a difference today. A one-off donation of £100 will return Jabba Johnson to his home planet of Tatooine. A one-off donation of £50 will build a catapult strong enough to yeet Priti Patel into the sun. A one-off donation of £25 will buy enough ghost traps to eradicate the Rees-Mogg family line and end the class wars. Failing that, a one-off donation of your critical thinking will stop corrupt, lying, manipulating class holes from attaining power and help us reclaim our country. Make a difference today and stop voting for cunts.